is forward looking yeah. and optimistic.
So let's see. Let's see what it says over here. Let's see over here. Pasuk Dalet. The mitzvah is David. Yes. Yes.
Silk engraved in there is a rachava in the old city, and there is a school there, and this pasuk is very large letters there, and I said I was in a tour, and so the tour guide was a girl. She was like in the 20s or something, and she had nose rings and whatever, but she had the Tanakh in her hand, and she says, you see this pasuk? It's right here in Zechariah. And she was reading. And I said, who are those Zkenim and Zkenot? And she says, I don't know, Zkenim and Zkenot. Zechariah was talking about his people there. These people are the Zkenim and Zkenot. Came originally from Eretz Israel, and then the Galut, they will come back. And we saw that in Bet Rachava, there was a school there, and kids were playing there. It was Mamash, you see the Nevuah, and it was a few years ago.
Yeah. I heard this said many by different people. I heard many people say the same exact thing. They were sitting, in older people, they were sitting on a park bench and watching the children play. And they say, right. Oh, this is a real fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. Oid Yeshu, Zekeinim, Zekeinim, Rechavis, Shulayim, and the children are playing in the background. Indeed, this prophecy to a degree has come true. But obviously, there's a lot more to come. Okay, let's see the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas, Pasuk Dal, Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, Pasuk Dalid. Od Yeshu Zekeinim, Od Yavizman, Begula Hasida. There will come a time in the future redemption. Vyeshu Zekeinim, Uzekeinus, Borochavis, Return Lemar, Lo Yasigem, Hachul Shola Sheves Babais. They will not be weak. They will not have to be in lockdown. They'll not be at home in the home. But rather, Kim Borochavis, to be able to go outside, go outdoors. Yeshu, they will sit Kiderech Habachudim. They will sit Kiderech like young men. Young men don't sit at home the whole day. They go out to the street. The ish, the cholech yebiyadim mishanta liyishon ba. Each man will have a stick, a staff in his hand to lean upon. But meirov hayamim shechayu due to their advanced age. Uchaderech hazakenim beimkol zel lo yasigem hachul shol l'shem esabayis. He repeats himself. And although they are an advanced age, they are not limited to remain indoors. But instead, they will be out there, and running and being busy. Next, pasuk hey, yimalu, and the children will fill up. Urochevasir yimalu will be filled with yiladim and vilados. Ki yifru v'yirbu v'yimalu urochevasir sachkim imroiv kol yu mesachkim usmechem. There will be a population spurt. There will be many, many over here. According to the Mitzudas David, the significance of the Yiladim and the Yiladois means there's going to be a major increase in the population. People will be fruitful, and they will be, of course, be playing in the streets. Pasuk Vav. Now we go to the next section. Pasuk Vav ki yipolei reva toiva sheyaos asher yipolei be'enei sheris ama. It will be a wonder. People will be astonished at the incredible blessing. What is that? This is a very bizarre expression that Hashem says, just like it's a wonder to you, it is equally a wonder to me. Although Hashem says, I do wonders in this world, I do incredible wonders. One more time, those very powerful words. Hashem, right, very good. Bereish, Hashem, that's he's saying something very, he's saying over here that it's we come back to the very beginning. The very beginning of Klal Yisrael, Hashem says to Avraham, Hayipalem Hashem Dovar, is there anything that I cannot do? Lamoed Oshuve Lecho Ke'es Chayavine Vein, and here at the end of days, we're coming to that Pella, to that wonder. That's the Pella. He's saying a very beautiful idea, Hayipalem, that was the very, very beginning of Klal Yisrael. And this is the very end. The Acharis Hayomim is described in terms of a Pella. Hayipolei Mehashem Dovar. Here is the Pella. Beautiful. That's a very, very, the whole, those Kedai, the whole Shia, just to hear that connection between the beginning, to connect the beginning to the end. Just like Im Shani, although I, Hashem says, I do in this world wonders, Asher Einam Yiduim Levnei Adam, man does not never saw such things, Ad Shaha Niflois Hayidu Ois, Kimohem Ke'ayin Limulam, I do wondrous things that people that, what does this mean exactly? The nifalois hayudu ois, the wonders that have already been known are nothing relative to the wonders that I can do. So nothing to me, Hashem, when Hashem is speaking, nothing to me is a pella, because this, I'm unlimited. I'm unlimited in what I can do. Yet, although I'm unlimited and to, in this world there are certain events that occur that are considered in the eyes of man to be a wonder, a pella, a wonder. But to me, they're not wonders, because I can do even more magnificent things. But yet this, that it's going to happen, Be'acharis Hayamim, Hashem says, is a pella even to me. Now, if that is something that is bizarre, that is really off the charts, then if this is not bizarre, then I don't know what is. Because what does that mean exactly? What does this mean? Im kol zeh pella hasheaseh la'asid yeh nechshav gam be'enai lefele. Ki gadol yeh mikol ha'pelo'im ha'yidu'im v'hanistodim. What's going to happen, be'achris hayam, is going to be even more wondrous than anything that has ever occurred in the history of this world. Now, is that a words of Nechama? These are very powerful words of Nechama. And what are those words? Partzak Zayin, Me'eretz Mizrach, I'm going to the ingathering of the Jewish people from the land of the east. What does that mean? Lo Hitzia, Me'eretz Mizrach, Me'makam Galusam, from their exile, from the east. And Mevo HaShamesh, the place where the sun sets in the west. Hu Pe'as HaMa'arav, HaMa'arav is the west. Western civilization, America. B'soich Yerushalayim, Pasiches, I will ingather them, and they will dwell in Yerushalayim. Loi b'lemar shekulam yeshu shama, ki haloi tiktan ha'aretz mehachil es kulam. It is impossible for the land, Yerushalayim, to contain, to hold the entire Jewish people. So what then does the pasuk mean, that they will all dwell in Yerushalayim? Avol b'lemar shehoir Yerushalayim tiyeh liyerusha l'chulam. Everyone will feel it's my place. This is mine. Yad kulam shaveba. Everyone.
Yeah, Rabbi Nel makes a point of saying that, like we learned in Yecheskel, that at the end of Yecheskel, that everybody is going to have a portion in Yerushalayim.
Everyone is.
It'll be divided up 12 equal portions, not just
every shevet. Right. So every loss of love and Yecheskel, every shevet will have property, but that does not mean that every member of Klal Yisrael will be entitled to live there, because it's not physically possible. Al derech hateva.
Right.
But every Shevet will have a portion in the land, unlike today, unlike the first Chalukah of Yehoshua, where Yerushalayim was basically divided between Yehuda and Binyamin. It was not the property of the entire Klal Yisrael, but in the future it will be the property of Klal Yisrael. K'mo yishenemar, b'soif nivuas yicheskel. The ho'yuli l'am l'fi sh'yimol l'vav, yishimol, and you'll be my people, sh'yimol l'vavam he'orel. They will circumcise their hearts. They will open up their hearts to serve Hashem. V'chulam yedu es Hashem v'yaminu, but everyone will know Hashem and they will believe in Hashem. V'ani yelohem lohem leilokim. L'yos lohem le'ezer u'lemoshe, I'll be for them as a support. Here they come two critical words, be'emes, if it's stuck with the midos of emes and the midah of tzedakah. V'avur ho'emes v'atzedakah shiasu oz, that will take place then. All of this blessing is destined for them. The im yishmu b'koyli, if they will only listen to my voice. The yispalalu b'bayis hazeh al hagula hakelolis, and they will pray to Hashem. And this bayis, we're going back now to the bayis sheni. We're going now back to current events, to the time of when the Zechariah is living, and they're building the bayis sheni. If only now they will take advantage of this bayis sheni and listen to Hashem and observe the mitzvahs and do teshuva, then they will merit to bring to usher in these days. Hine avi avi eha bi mehem. I will bring these days in their own lifetimes. V'hoyel v'chein ein lahaktin b'inyanam. Now he's going back to the theme. This now tying back everything back to the very beginning. Therefore, do not underestimate and do not diminish the significance of the Bayis Sheni. Don't think the Bayis Sheni is just, you know, it's a temporary little caravan, it's a trailer, we'll come daven here, but really don't give it much attention because we're surrounded by enemies and it's not a very impressive building. That's a terrible mistake. This makom is the makom, is the root, is the shoresh of enormous blessing. This can be the beginning of Mashiach. If only you will take advantage of what you can do with this makom. V'chein ein lahaktin binyan hamikdash hazeh ki toiva meruba tiluya boy. An abundance of blessing depends upon this structure that you're looking at, the Bayis Sheni. That's the mitzvah. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk.
What I find interesting is that the Barbanel makes a very big distinction between Me'eretz Mizrach and Me'eretz Mevo Hashemesh. He says Me'eretz Mizrach is the Aseretz Hashvatim, Me'eretz Mevo Hashemesh is Yehuda Ben-Yamin, the western part of the Eastern Empire.
Interesting.
They're closer.
Very interesting.
They're in the west, but they're still east of Eretz Yisrael, but they're on the western part of the Eastern Empire, so to speak.
Okay, very interesting.
So they're closer. That's the way he said.
Everyone is in the east.
Interesting. He's talking about the Aseret Hashvatim. I'm going to come back.
Everyone is in the east.
Lies in the face of the Gemara. Right?
Everyone was exiled to the east. That was the fact.
Right.
Everyone, the question of it is, how far east did you go? So when we look at the east, we divide the east into the left and the right. The left is the west, that's Yehuda and Binyamin, and the right are the Aseret Hashvatim. So he's indicating the Aseret Hashvatim were taken to the far east. Where exactly did the Aseret Hashvatim land? It's a very big mystery. No one really knows where they went.
It could be the difference between Iran and Iraq, Persia and it.
But they've gone further east than where Yehuda and Binyamin landed when they were exiled. That's a very interesting point. Okay, let's...
He said, O Yashvu Zikenu Zikenos, he's saying that you shouldn't think that the Jews in that area who lived near the Euphrates were living long, comfortable, peaceful lives at this point in time. And they said, you'll see, they'll live the same type of long, peaceful life in Yerushalayim. Oh, Yashruz again, the way they're living now, you might think they don't want to come back. Because
excellent, it's very good.
They're in Chutz Lawrence, but they're enjoying life. The Euphrates is giving them good diets and everything, and they're living till ripe old ages. The same thing will be in Eretz Yisrael, don't worry.
That's who says this? The Barbanel? Oh, that's a very, Rabbi said, you hear what he said? That's a very satisfying explanation of an ode. That's a very, very, that's exactly.
See, they'll be the same way you're enjoying life now, you'll enjoy it in Eretz Yisrael.
Fascinating. Because that's the primary, the response of why don't we, present company included, why don't we make Aliyah? If we don't belong here, we have to acknowledge the facts. The facts are, this is not where we belong. A Jew belongs in Eretz Yisrael. So why don't we pick ourselves up and go to Eretz Yisrael? So what is the response? It's not going to be the same. We could accomplish a lot more here in America than we can accomplish in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Parnassa. There are many more opportunities for Parnassa in America than in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, Ruchnius. Ruchni is here, we're able to have a daf yomi, we're able to learn, we're able to accomplish in Ruchni is more than what we would be able to accomplish if we were living in Eretz Yisrael, we'd be distracted with all of the tirdois that are there. That has been, in essence, the response of the diaspora as to why they have failed to make Aliyah for the last whatever number of years, whatever, however you want to put it. So here he's saying something, Rabbi Yevsky is saying something that is the first time of satisfaction. Ode. Ode means you will continue. It means whatever pleasure you have in America, whatever benefit that you feel you have where you are in Chutz La'aretz, you're not going to lose that out. You're not going to lose out. Ode. You'll have at least the same thing there as you have over here. It will continue. Your success, your satisfaction in life of feeling accomplished and having parnasa, raising a family, and achieving what you want to achieve in life will be no less, in Yerushalayim than it is here in Chutz La'aretz. It's a very powerful idea. Finally, we have a bayer on the word oath. Okay, good. Let's move ahead.
It's amazing that the oath is missing vav.
Yeah.
It looks like an aid.
A testimony.
Kadosh Baruch Hu is the witness.
Witness, very good. Excellent. So you're saying another idea. The fact that it's missing in the vav is like a witness. In Shema, we know there are two large letters, right. The ayin and the dalet. Aid. Testimony. This is testimony. So you need Yalpi Shnei Edim Yokum Dover. We're one witness and Hashem is the other. Hashem is the other witness. You need two witnesses. When we say Shema, we're saying we're one witness. We need another witness. Hashem. Hashem here is Od Yeshu Zikenim Uzik. It's a very interesting idea. We have to keep that, we have to follow that idea. Let's go further. Meroiv Yamim Yu Trichim Lemishenis. Rashi over here says Lemishenis Biyodam. Rashi explains, why is Rashi explaining this over here? So listen, this is something which needs more explanation. There's obviously something much deeper in just the fact that a person has a staff in his hand. Because today, in today's society, okay, let's look over here. Maybe in ancient times, a person who was a distinguished person, they walked with a stick. Even if you didn't need a stick. It was just, it's like you wear a mask, you have a stick. It's part of your dress. It's part of your malbush. You wear a jacket, you wear a hat, you wear shoes, you wear a matching. I noticed the women, they're very into matching masks now. It's like it's a fashion statement. The color of the mask, you know, and the size of the mask. I've seen a lot of women, you know, not a lot, but I've seen a couple of women already, you know. It's
hey, Michal, do you remember Tony Bukis?
Yes.
Yeah, he broke his arm in the middle of the year that time, and he wore a different color sling to match his sport jacket.
It's a fashion statement.
Flair for drama.
It's a fashion, so therefore you have a stick. So a
he
stick
wore
in
a blue sling with a blue jacket and a red sling with a red jacket. That's what he did.
in ancient times, not even such ancient times, it's going back in before World War II, it was, you look at some of the pictures, the Rabbanim, an Adam Choshev, a sign of distinction, was to have a staff. And you have a gold, and you have a silver, and you have a different types of handles. You don't need it. It's not a matter of using it. It's just part of, you know, when you walk in the street, you walk with a staff. That's the way it was. Like they say, like a shatran, and they don't do this anymore, a shatran would walk with an umbrella. On a nice sunny day, he would walk in the street with an umbrella. That meant he's a shatran. It was like part. It was a certain statement. So here's the question I want to ask: is that in today's day and age, that's not the way we live. Today, nobody wants to have a stick. Today, it's a stick means old. You're feeble. You're over a bottle. Today, having a stick is not considered to be a mila. I'll give you an example. Not so long ago, there was a din Torah. There was a family. I think there were 12 children. This is a famous story. There were 12 children, and they divided the Yerusha. The parents died, and they were very wealthy, and they divided the Yerusha, and they divided all of the furniture and all the different artifacts, all different things they had in the family. And the person who died was an elderly man, and for many years he had a stick, a beautiful whatever it was. Maybe it was gold, maybe it was silver, whatever it was, a staff. And everything was peaceful. The Yerusha, the division of the Yerusha among the 12 children was very peaceful. There were no fights. Very unusual. No fighting. Everything went smooth. There was only one thing where there was a fight. Who gets the stick? Because the stick, in their eyes of the children, in their eyes, it reminded them of their father. It just... However, he had that stick, because every time they would visit their father, he always had the stick in his hand. So they were fighting like cats and dogs. Who gets the stick? The one, you know, this child said, well, I spent the most time with him. I was always there. Well, I lived in the house with him. Everyone had a good excuse why they should get the stick. So they went to a Din Torah. And the Rav said, whoever needs it first gets it. All of a sudden, no one wanted it. No one wanted it. We don't want it. So a stick today, that illustrates, today a stick is not viewed to be as something very, very positive. If that's the case, I'm asking a question. If this nevuah is said in reference to Acharis Hayomim, and here we are in Acharis Hayomim, 1,951 years is not called Acharis Hayamim, I don't know what is. We're on the cusp, we're on the Ikvus of the Meshicha, we're heading into Acharis Hayamim, and in today's society, a staff is not a mila. No one wants a stick. So why then does, even in advanced age, even a person who's a Zokin Mufla, yeah. You don't,
but,
it's
but
not...
But there was a time, and there was a place,
right.
When a gentleman of leisure.
Right, I said, yeah, right. I like that expression. A gentleman of leisure, a very nice expression of leisure. Yeah, but here's the, we're talking about Acharis Hayomim. And since this is prophecy, and since we are living now right at the edge of Acharis Hayomim, and today a stick is not a mila. No one wants to hear, even if you're 100 years old, that's the way it is. Today's society, it's a fact. If you're 100 years old, it's not a mila to have a stick. The mila is, he doesn't need a cane. He's Baruch Hashem, he's out and about, he's healthy, he's vibrant, he's 100 years old. He doesn't need a stick. It's not a matter of a gentleman of leisure.
Not in the Hasidic world. The rabbis do go with
cane, silver tip cane.
They still, even today?
Because that's a sign of nobility. Right. That's what I was getting at.
Right, but I'm saying today, but an Acharis Hayamim, maybe you have a few rebbes. Here we're not discussing rebbes. Zikenim uzikenois. We're dealing here with the average person. In ancient times, yes, even a young man, a 30-year-old man who was a noble, a man like Rav Mechol said, a gentleman of leisure, you go have a staff. It was a sign of honor. It was a sign of chashivas. The same way you wear a jacket and a top hat, and you have other things that you have a pocket watch. You have these different items. You have a staff. But today, in the secular year of 2021, no one, and the average person, the average Jew, does not look at a staff.
I wasn't referring to the average person.
No, but the pasuk here, I know, I understand that. I fully understand that. But here the pasuk is discussing the zikenim uzikenois. We're discussing, I'm assuming here, the average person. We're not discussing here in this pasuk the leaders. We're discussing the average people. And the average person today, I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's something, you know, they have beautiful, you can go buy canes, it's a whole, I'm sure it's a $1 million business to buy some decorative canes, but it's not something people look forward to. It's not something which people are going to take pride in that they can't walk. They're going to go for surgery in the hospital of special surgery to get a replacement of the parts of the body that are not functioning 100% in order to allow them to run and run around like a child. That's the society we live in today. My question is, if this is prophecy, and being that the prophecy is referring to us, not to them, it's us, there has to be an element of us, Hayom, in the year 2021, and we don't view this as a mila, why then, from all the different things that you can use to describe the beauty, the advantages of the golden years, why should we focus on a stick? It must then be...
It must. Shmatim, Matei Aharon, Kol Chartumei Mitzrayim had matot.
Yeah, because that was in ancient times. In ancient times, like you said, Michal said, a gentleman of leisure. I repeat with things that is 100% correct for then, and maybe for the last 2,000 years. But I'm saying today, let's just be realistic. In the year 2021, nobody. The average person, if he's 100 years old, it is not considered to be a milah to have a stick. It's not a tool, it's not a milah. A person today wants to be young. You want to be able to run around. And today people will spend enormous amounts of money to replace all of their joints and do anything they can to have mobility without any restriction whatsoever.
Rabbi, yes, hello. Maybe the nevuah is that the lifespan will be even longer than 120 years.
Okay, fine.
Old. So that nobody will be ashamed to wear to go with a cane. Right.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but wouldn't, even if you're 500 years old,
walk with a cane because it's a weapon.
If you're 500 years old, I don't in the mindset of today's society, the mindset of today's society, even if you're 500 years old, you don't want to have a cane.
So, nobody lives 500 years old, but then maybe they will. Who knows?
That's because today youth is celebrated, not and respected, not age.
So. Okay, you're giving good answers, but I think there's something a more fundamental answer, that the word the stick in the hand does not necessarily mean a physical stick. It means accomplishments. The yad, when you have a staff in your hand, it means you have something to hold on to. You have something to lean on. Not in the physical sense, in meaning you have, for lack of better terms, you've accomplished something with your life. You're holding something in your hand that you're proud of, that you have satisfaction. It's very, very sick. I walk by on Avenue M in the park over here, and they have these tables, and you see these old men. They look like they're 80, 90 years old, and they're sitting there, they're playing checkers, or they're playing chess. Yes. And you look at them, and it's very sad. Why is it very sad? At this age, like, you don't get the impression that they have accomplished something significant in their lives. Maybe they did. Who's to say? But if you accomplish something very significant in your life, it's just not likely you'll be sitting here at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the middle of the day on a park bench playing checkers with a homeless person. That doesn't go together. You never know. Sometimes some of these people that are playing checkers there, you'll be shocked what they've accomplished in their lives. But you don't get that impression. It's very, very sad. It's very disturbing. Is that the way you picture yourself at that age? Or at that age, you want to be able to have something in your pocket. Not just money, but some significant accomplishment. The mish'enes biyodei, and then what do you mean? What do you mean? What is it to lean? What is the stick to lean on? When a person gets depressed, what gives you chizuk? What gives you chizuk is, look, at least I accomplished something in my life. At least I have this. I have a family. I have a wife. I have children. I learned something. I have an advanced degree. I have a job. I have respect. I gave a lot of money to a certain cause, which did a lot of good in this world. You fall back on something to lean on it that gives you support, strength to go forward and be happy, be fulfilled, have some strength. When it says here, the mish'enes biyodoi does not necessarily mean a stick. Yeah, okay, I hear all the answers. I understand that this pasuk is describing in terms of the way people, the gentleman of leisure, I love that expression, Rebbe Chaim. The gentleman of leisure from ancient times, when you're 30 years old, you get a stick. Excellent, I get it. I fully get it. And maybe b'achris hayamim, even people will go back to the old-fashioned minhagim, the rebbes. They have a stick, they have a gold cane, and people will be 500 years old. So it will be a good thing to have a stick. I get it. Good, but it has to be something more. There has to be more depth in what it means a staff. It means an accomplishment that you're proud of, that gives you fulfillment, which you can lean on to be mechazek you. Living out your days. Oh, let's go further. Rashi says,
it says merov yamim and not merov shanim.
Oh, very good. That's a very good point.
Arichut yamim, not arichut shanim. Each day will be
right. That's a general thing. Is that some people, the old vart, some people have arichas shanim, and some people have arichas yamim. I read recently that a person, he died very young. So they wrote about someone, they wrote a hesped. He lived a fast life. That was the hesped. What does it mean, live a fast life?
Unfortunately, that has two meanings. Okay.
What do you mean? What's the bad meaning? The bad meaning, but fast life means
fast life in the fast lane. No, that's not what they
mean. No, no. It means that
I know what they mean.
He accomplished so much in such a short time. Sure. What takes people many years to accomplish, a fast life, similar to what you have Chalmud said, arichas yomim, and then there's arichas shanim, and there's something to be said about arichas shanim. You know,
in quality versus quantity.
They always say in the world of chinuch, you open up any book or any article of a parenting, the first rule in parenting, rule number one in parenting is there is no such thing as quality time without quantity time. Many parents this is what they write in all the books. Okay, I'm not a parent, so I don't know, but what they write in the books is that many parents make a very big mistake. They have a career and they're devoted to achieve for themselves fame and whatever, and wealth.
Fame and fortune.
Fame and fortune in this world. They got a problem though. Mm-hmm. They have children. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. It's an obstacle. It's an obstacle to their ability to pursue fame and fortune. What are they going to do with their children? The children need a lot of attention. So they'll say, I'm going to put a slot in my calendar, 15-minute slot every day, 15 minutes a day, and squeeze in my children to give them quality time. And those 15 minutes, we're going to concentrate. I'm going to take him to a restaurant. I'm going to sit and talk to him and look at him and talk to him. I'm going to give him quality time. And all of the big experts in psychology and parenting, they say it's the most foolish thing any parent can do or can even entertain, that you can raise children with what you imagine as quality time. In parenting, if there's no quantity of time, there is no quality of time. Just being there, being present and doing nothing, that's part of parenting. Just the child knows that the parent is there, even though you're fooling around and you're wasting what seems to be just a total waste of time. That is essential to raising healthy children. There's no such thing. And in essence, that's what shanim is. Shanim is not necessarily the quality. Yom always connotes quality, days. Shanim is years. It's more the quantity, not necessarily the intense accomplishment of every single day. Both of these items are necessary. There's a need for quality every so often, and there's a need for quantity. And to think that you can go and you can chaparayin quality without quantity is a foolish mistake. It's so true. And he knows it's not just true for parenting. It's true for everything. Everything. There has to be quality. You see this in the business world over and over. I know not so much out there and making money, but years ago, I used to work in different places. I used to work teaching, whatever different places to do, work for whatever, different facility, computer company, whatever they did over there. But there's always the goal, you see this all the time, to optimize. Optimization, to cut out the waste. Cut out the waste. And it's right. Companies and people, they waste money in the billions on total nonsense. But it comes a point in time where if you optimize too much, you destroy the whole business. I remember someone complaining to me where they work, one of my friends, is that really into optimization, cutting out, wasting money. So in the bathroom, in the office, and this is a big building, they have a lot of workers. They must have probably 100 workers. They got orders to cut expenses. They ordered the cheapest possible toilet paper money can buy. Money can buy. They used to order, you know, they had toilet paper, you know, average. You know, you go into you know, your average grocery store, whatever.
One ply.
You buy whatever you buy. You have at home, whatever you pay. I don't pay attention. Whatever you have. No. We have to optimize. So they purchased literally. I can't even begin to explain, because you have to optimize. We'll cut out the waste, right? Cut out the waste. No pun intended.
Yeah, right.
Cut out the waste. So, and just like they did that for the toilet paper, they did that across the board with every little thing. And what is the result? The result is the environment, the work environment, is so stingy. It is so cruel. Who wants to work here? The attitude is such a horrible attitude. No one has any drive to be part of this company, to succeed and to accomplish. Everything is like this with the secretaries. They used to have the good old days, everyone had a secretary, their own private secretary. It's a law firm, their own private secretary. Everyone, that's part of the job. Today, no, what a waste of money, a secretary. So every two people get one secretary. Every three people, then every team, every five gets. Now, no secretaries at all. Everyone, tichbad ho'avoida v'yasuba. Everyone has to do, you're not going to change the workload. The workload doesn't change one bit, but no one gets a secretary. Because what do the secretaries do anyway the whole day? They sit and they schmooze with each other, and they play on the computer poker. Right? So let's optimize. Why are we paying these salaries to the secretaries? Let's get rid of them. You know something? It makes a big difference. There has to be waste. There, in a healthy environment, there has to be waste. The only trick is to know how much waste. You can't be abusive. You can't be, you know. But in order to succeed, every business must allow. I'm sure they teach this in Wharton, and again in MBA, you have to allow a certain percentage of your business to have waste. It has to be there, because if you attempt to optimize to an extreme and cut out every last wasted penny in a business, you are guaranteed to fail. That's a reality.
That's depreciation. Depreciation. Yeah.
This is the way it is in the world. This is a very big mistake a lot of companies make. They get very upset. We're losing money. We're not making money. So the first thing we got to go do is we got to cut costs. Okay, you got to cut costs. That's right. You have to be very careful. But when you go to an extreme, you're only shooting yourself in the foot. That's called shanim. There's yomim and there's shanim. In life, Hashem gave us in this world days, and He gave us years. And there's a lot of wasted time every single day. Every single day, you have no choice. You got to do a lot of things during the day that are really pure waste of time, as far as we look at it. And that's why Hashem made the world, because if you don't have the shanim, you're not going to have the yomim. There are certain moments in life that make it all worth it. There are certain moments, and the only way you're going to have those yomim, those moments, those days, is if you have the shanim. And even though, live a fast life, just compress all of the yomim into a short period of time, and then move on to whatever all this is about, whatever the purpose of creation is, the purpose of being alive, it doesn't go like that. Yomim v'shanim. Here, I'm here. Rav Kalman is taking note of something very interesting, talking about Yimos HaMashiach, and he's writing Miyoiv Yomim. Is that formula going to change? Be'achris HaYomim. Be'achris HaYomim, you're being a very good point, Rav Kalman. Is this formula that when in times of Mashiach, the blessing is so infinite, is that every single moment won't be necessary for there to be any shunning. The dynamics of the way we know the world today, where there has to be waste in order for there to be accomplishment of yomim, maybe that dynamic will be changed, be achris hayomim, and we'll be able to have yomim without the need of there being waste of, as we explained, this idea of shanim. There'll be so much more that can be accomplished every single second. Okay, but that we have to take keep that in mind. Maybe we'll see something more as we go through this. Let's go to the next Rashi. Yeah.
I don't know if you, did you discuss in the Chumash, the word Mishanto?
Yes.
Comes, did you discuss that already?
The staff?
No, that's in Pasuk, Shemos Mishpatim.
Yeah.
Aleph, you test. He's
talking about Al Mishanto V'niko HaMakeh.
Right. Im Yakum. Nim Yakum Vesalech
Bachutz Al Mishantoy.
Oh.
So Vinika Makeh. Okay.
They don't give it necessarily, they don't call it a stick.
What do they call it?
Support. Support.
Okay, so that's what a stick is. A stick is what supports the person.
It's a support.
The article says it goes about outside under his own power.
Power. Okay, he's saying very good. So we have to go back to Mishpatim and analyze how the word Mishanto is used there. And there you're saying also it's not necessarily a stick, a physical stick. Excellent. Wow. So there in Parshas Mishpatim, Mishanto means health.
And I good. Think it's the first time, if I understood the Kandatsia, it's the first time the word shows up.
So if you take that translation and you insert it in the pasuk over here, it means the same thing, is that the zakenim will be perfectly healthy. In the world that we live in today, with age comes doctor visits. Okay, there's a proportional relationship between the number of doctor visits a person has and the person's age. And we're saying here that in times of Mashiach, each the zakenim will be sitting or mishantoi biyadoi. His health is in his hand. He will be perfectly healthy without any.
Maybe if you want to say, if according to him, that he's saying that it means support, maybe it means financial support. They'll be wealthy, they'll be able to retire in the usual life.
Social security. You're living in Eretz Yisrael, on social security from America. A pension.
Right.
But if people will live to the age of 500 years old, Social Security will have gone broke long
That's
ago.
Right. It won't run out.
Social Security.
The Sifsei Chachomim says it's a stick. The Sifsei Chachomim on the Rashi says that it is his walking stick.
Okay.
Okay, it's obviously it's subject to interpretation.
No, he's explaining Rashi.
Look at the
man. He's a sick guy, and he's still walking with a stick, but he's able to get up out of bed.
All right, but the idea is true. Mishantoi, the idea is true, represents the Enechanami, so we can suggest the Sifzei Chacham is giving a Perush in Rashi, but it's not the only Perush in Rashi. There are many Perush in Rashi. But you are saying Rashi does, in fact, say his health. And the word Mishantoi is symbolic. Symbolic, it's not to be taken literally, at least according to the similar reading of Rashi there, putting aside the Sifzei Chachamim, and that would mean it means health. And you take that interpretation, you inject it to the pasuk over here, you're saying an incredible idea, what is a Zaken afraid of? Health. What will be my state of health in old age? Will I need an aid? Will I need this? Will I need that? All these different, all these horrible things. No. Each man mishantoi biyadoi, perfectly healthy. All of the doctors can retire. No need to have any hospitals, any doctors. The industry will shut down because people will be healthy, and that will totally change the world. Okay, let's
see it. One more thing. In Perek Chof Gimel, in Tehillim, we always say shiptecho mishantecho heima yinachemuni, right?
Mishantra, Hashem's staff, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So what does that mean? Shiptecho means a stick. Mishantecho means like a cane. So they're both menachemim. The stick is menachemim because Hashem hits us with the stick. And sometimes he supports us with the stick. A stick has a dual purpose.
Of nechama.
It can either be used to hit us or to support us.
Okay. So sometimes, right, very good. So so when you say the word mishandra, mishenis, it means the love. Tough love. The shivtacha is the toughness, and mishantacha is the love, is the nechama, is the support. So here, according to that, you're suggesting that when it says in Yimos HaMashiach, each man will sit with the mishantacha, will recognize how Hashem has supported him. Hashem has always been there for him in his difficult times. Excellent. Let's now go to the next. We'll see more. We're not done with this yet. Okay, we have to go through all the mafarsh. Let's go to the Rash. Let's finish the next Rash. Now next page 778. The next words vayosimu, and they have set ba'avaynam. Wait, I'm reading the wrong. What am I doing? What am I reading over here? I'm sorry. I'm on the next page. Pasuk page 780. Ki yipolei. Page 780. Ki yipolei. And we learned already in the Mitzudas the pasuk that just as it will be a wonder, that it will be a wonder, a pella, a wonder in the eyes of man. Hashem says something that is almost impossible to understand what this means. Hashem says it will be a pella to me as well. It will be a wonder to me as well how the blessing that we are witnessing, that we will witness in times of Mashiach, ki polei be'enehem ha-chesed ha-gadol, just like it will be a wonder in the eyes, the kindness, ha-godol, asher esel Elohim, that I will do for them. Gam be'inai, Hashem says, will be a wonder in my own eyes. Yipolei eich shavti min acharon ha-godol. Rash is more specific. He adds something more. How I have held back from my anger. All of the years of Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. The Hashem is expressing a degree of anger. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the coming of Mashiach, will be a wonder how he will restrain his anger. V'rabaseinu darshu al shchitas yetzer hara b'meseches sukkah. This goes back to what we learned before, not long ago. This entire pasuk is describing when Hashem will slaughter the yetzer hara in the times of Mashiach. This is not to be confused with the yetzer hara that Hashem slaughtered, that Hashem put away in the times of the Bayis Sheni. We spend a lot of time on that. In the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah realized that if the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah continues to exist, we don't stand a chance. And they were mispalel to Hashem that Hashem should eliminate this Yetzirah for idolatry. A piskam in Hashemayim came forth, a little tzettel, which had written upon it the words MS. Hashem says, you are correct. And they were mispalel, and out came from the Kodesh HaKodashim a fire in the image of a lion. And that was the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. They trapped it. They put it into an iron tube and they sealed it. And as they stuffed it into the tube, a single hair fell out. And that little hair that fell out is still in this world. There is still a teeny mashu of the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah in this world that was plucked off as it was squeezed into an iron tube. But Yimos HaMashiach, so it's alive. The Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah is alive. It's just...
But why limit it to that? I mean, it's the Avodah Zarah in general.
Noshim. The Yetzirah, the Satan, it's all the same.
There's an overall Yetzer Hara
for Durah,
for whatever it is.
Eitz Hadas Toivara.
That those two are part of it.
Right, okay, it's part of it, okay. But even that, everything, the entire, the Yetzer, the point I want to make is something just a side point. The Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is alive and well. It's in solitary confinement. It's not dead. We today have no Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. No one, you don't see anyone today. I've never in my life seen someone have a taiva to bow down to a stone or to a piece of wood. I see people bowing down to other men, to other people, trying to, you know,
I watch shows on idolatry, and you take a look, there's
probably a billion people in the world who still think of these Buddhists who they literally bow down to the idol and they kiss the idol, and they what they do is outrageous.
But Chazal say
they are worshiping these stones.
Chazal tell us about those people, and they say minig avosem biyodeim. Chazal have taken note of those people who still do this today, and Chazal told us that's right. Minug avoseim biodeim, but in their hearts, deep down, they know it's nonsense. They have no real desire.
What's said of the Persians?
They have no real desire. It's pressure. It's a lifestyle. It's just a creation. You create a society and you build society around a certain belief, and that's how society functions. It's very, very sad to say that there are some Jewish communities that do the same thing. They create a certain hashkafa, and they create a whole lifestyle, and they use the Torah as the basis to create a society. And
are you referring to the Tikkun Olam crowd?
No, not referring to I'm referring to something very, it's something which you don't know. It's an abuse. You have to ask yourself the question: do you really believe? Are you a real believer, or are you just using the Torah as a tool to create a life for yourself, to create a system where people give money and people give you honor, and you have a society. Torah is the best eschayer. Torah. You use it as a tool to create a life for yourself, honor, money, prestige, v'chulu v'chulu, and deep down inside,
you mean a cult.
You're a phony. Deep down inside, how does it come out? When push comes to shove, when there's a nisoyon, and what the Torah really wants, you don't do. So it goes to show that the whole thing was just all make-believe. This happens amongst us as well, Rachmanu Litzlan. So certainly amongst the Goyim, there are societies today where they take wood and stone and they bow down to it, not because they believe in it. They don't believe. They couldn't care less about it. They do it because it creates for them a society. The Amish. Look at the Amish. In my eyes, they're the biggest phonies in the world. The Amish, this community. What's this all about, the Amish? When they need to come on to society, to all of the modern conveniences and medicines and they're very quick to take advantage of everything that this world has to offer. So what's this lifestyle of growing these? They grow these long beards and they live in these primitive societies where they don't want to make use of the technology. What's that all about? What's going on over here? There's a religion. It's a technique to create for yourself your own little bubble. Your own bubble to earn respect, to have parnasa. And how do you know it's not for real? Because whenever you need to come on to the advantages of the modern world, they're right there. They're right in the front. I'm sure they're all lining up to get the vaccine like everyone else. They're no different than anyone else. Why? The Amish. You have to follow the minig of a sambi adam. You have to, you know. The answer is it's just a technique to create a society for yourself. But truthfully speaking, there is no longer yetzara for avodah zara. The point I just want to make is that yetzara avodah zara, even though you don't see people running with a sincerity to bow down to wood and stone, it's alive. This yetzara that our ancestors struggled. And we read about in Tanakh, and we're clueless to understand what are these Mishagoyim doing, going and bowing down, kissing and hugging and giving up all their money. Where does this come from? We have no clue. Guess what? That passion is alive. Where is it? It's in solitary confinement. It's in a lead tube. And it's not dead. The Anshei Knesset HaGedola did not eliminate it, did not slaughter it. They just temporarily imprisoned it in a lead tube. If some will come with technology to break through the lead and bring some transmissions, who knows? And La'osid Lovoi, when Mashiach will come, then that Yetzirah, plus all of the other passions and evil influences that Rav Machol is referring to, will also be brought forth, and they will be slaughtered. They will be completely eliminated, dead. There's no Tchiyas HaMeisim for these creatures when they're gone. And this pasuk, according to Rashi, according to Chazal, this pasuk is referring exactly to that day when these forces of evil, of passion, will be eliminated. Eich, so Rashi over here says, Rashi, let's read the Rashi. Rashi says, Rav Sein Dorshu al Pshchidas Yetzara b'Mesechta Sukkah, Mesechta Sutta, and over here, Hashem is telling us this in very powerful words. Hashem will say the following: Be'enai yipolei, it will be wondrous. Eich yuchlu hatzadikim la'amoid kinegdoi b'chayehem. How were the tzadikim able to overcome this Yetzirah? Now, the reason why I said the here
is this the quote from the Gemara in Sukkah?
Yes. Okay. And what does it say over there? This is why I said the here. What does it say over there? It says over there that the wicked people on that day, there's going to be a big gathering on that day. The whole world is going to come together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take out. Let me just embellish this. What I'm saying might not be correct, but let me just try anyway. Hashem will open up the tube and will take out that Yetzirah, let's say for Avodah Zarah, and Hashem will slaughter it. And everyone will cry. The tzaddikim will cry and the Rishoim will cry. The Rishoim will cry and will say, look at it. It's just a here. It's nothing more than a Sa'ora, a here. And I couldn't overcome it. And because I failed in my lifetime to deal with it and overcome it, now I have to suffer the consequences. I will not merit the reward of Olam Haba or whatever reward would have come to me. The tzaddikim on the other side will also cry. And what will they say? Look at it. It's a massive mountain. A mountain that goes all the way to the sky. It is impossible for me to overcome this. How in the world did I overcome this? It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me. They're going to cry out of joy, maybe, or they're going to cry realizing how much pain they endured to overcome this Yetzirah, reminds them. And over here we learn that Hashem is saying, it's going to be a wonder in my eyes. I'm going to be on the side of the tzaddikim, and in my eyes it will be a pella, it will be a wonder. Indeed, how were these tzaddikim able to overcome this massive mountain? Now the Mefarshim explain, what is it? Is it a mountain or is it a here? This is a contradiction. This is an open, direct contradiction. What is this? And the answer they give is, it's really a here. It's just one here. But what happens is, when you overcome one here, then Hashem throws in your way another here, and then another, and another. The Rishoyim were not even able to get to first base. Hashem put in front of the Rasha a single little teeny, a Nisoyin. Just don't do this. Don't, little thing. No, couldn't overcome that. That's where he starts. That's where he ends. He lost out on that little single here. The tzaddikim had the same exact nisayon. Hashem gave them a test that was insignificant. It was the size of a here, but they overcame it. Hashem said, excellent. Let's go to level 2. Here's another here. They overcame it. Another here.
Rabbi, it says in the Torah also, by Yasaro, Hayupolim Hashem Dobor, Lamoyed Oshu Belecho, Kais Chayel Sorbein.
Right, so
this is, could be a remnant to
Rav Kalman, in the beginning of the Shir, in the beginning of Rav Kalman, he mentioned that we discussed that idea in the beginning of the Shir. Right.
Okay.
But right now, before we go to that thought, let's conclude this idea. This thought is that the Rishoyim, the wicked people, every single here it accumulates. All of the multiple hears they accumulate one after another their entire lives until at the end of the day, at the end of their lives, they've accumulated so many years that it looks like this massive, massive mountain. Now you'll ask the question, but what do you mean? The Yetzer Hara, at least that we're discussing, has been sealed in an iron tube. There are no, it's not present. Oh, look who's here, Mr. Rosenbaum. Shalom Aleichem. Say hello to the oil. I haven't seen you in years.
I've seen Michal Miller the other day. Yes. And he said that you're running a...
Shalom Aleichem.
There he is.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
It's good to see you.
I have an hour. I came to
okay,
see
wow,
you.
Okay, wow.
Okay.
Okay, we gotta catch up.
Where is Zacharia? Okay. What page? 3, 7.
Zacharia page 780. Oh. Wow. I both said the shul is open. If you want to come, you can come. I can't take responsibility though. It's a little bit dangerous outside. That's the truth. The truth is, should maybe wait for the vaccine. It's a little dangerous out there still. All right, Rabbi.
That's the Yerushalmi on Amar Otzel Shachal Baderech Haribei Narachovos.
Each the hairs accumulate to a massive. So I'm saying the one point is that if the Yetzer Hara was put away in a tube in the lead tube, so what are you talking about a hair? The answer is that when they put the Yetzer Hara in the tube, as they squeezed him in, a hair fell off his back. That's what it says in the Gemara in Megillah. A hair fell off, and as that hair fell off, the lion made this massive roar, which shook the world from one end to the other end. That hair did not go in the tube. That hair is the hair that is the nesoyin that every single person is still facing. Now, I know you'll say it's Avodah Zarah. Well, Avodah Zarah, there are many types of Avodah Zarah. Gaiva is Avodah Zarah. Money is the ultimate Avodah Zarah. Kovod is Avodah Zarah. All of the types of difficulties that the struggles that we face is all in our bizrayu, an extension of the Avodah Zarah, an extension of strange service in its ultimate form means to bow down to a stone or a piece of wood. That's really strange. But then there are extensions, there are shoot-offs of the strange service, which means honor, money, taiva, lust, all the different types of desires that we have in this world that are not healthy. That is an extension of the Yetzer Hara, the ultimate Avodah Zarah. And that, when they stuffed this creature in the lead tube, a hair came off. That hair is the hair that the wicked people, Osilovay, are going to cry about. It was just a hair. Why wasn't I able to overcome it? And the tzaddikim, when they're going to see that here, they're also going to cry. Because in their eyes, that's not one here. That's a mountain of hairs. Each, because after they passed the first test, they got another here, another here, another. Piruta, piruta, mitzarefes, lecheshven gadol. Porta, porta, mitzarefes. Each little small amount accumulates into a massive amount. And they realize, how are we able to do this? And they cry. And this pasuk is telling us that just like they cry, Hashem says, it's a pella in my own eyes how they were able to do this. It's a wonder in my own eyes how the tzaddikim were able to overcome this great difficulty in their lives. Okay, let's see. Let's just finish up the Rashi. That's it. That concludes the Rashi. And that will conclude for today. We'll Mishnah continue this tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to Nadak, the Malbim, and we have some very nice Mamari Chazal, and maybe we can try to dig up some other things to enhance these very powerful psukim. Take a short break. Afterwards, I want to continue afterwards with the laws. I want to thoroughly go through the laws very quickly, I mean the best that we can, of making Kiddush Shabbos morning. The Kiddush of Shabbos morning is not the same thing as Kiddush Shabbos night. Has its own set of rules and regulations, minhagim. It's its own beast, and I want to go through that in honor of this week's parsha that says v'yal yishu b'divrei sheker. As we started yesterday, the words of Shabbat. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Shalom aleichem.
Good morning, everybody.
You like some coffee?
From Philly to Montreal. We have Miami. Anyone from Miami on Lord? Nyman?
For 3.5 months, I'm still in Alaska.
You mean your head's frozen, right?
No, you see the reindeer behind me. Those are reindeer.
Yeah, are they? Did I shaft them?
Well, you could. They kosher.
Do you have to salt the antlers?
It's a big food over there. They eat reindeer.
But the antlers, you know, the antlers are part of the body. They're not a separate like nail. So you have to salt them if you want to eat the antlers. You know?
Yeah.
It's a big Shiloh there.
Not a Shiloh.
But you eat the hooves of a cow. You salt the hooves?
You want to laugh? You know why the minhag to eat the galarit? I was looking when we were learning about the minhagim, about what you eat on Shabbos, but I'm a tzvibel, we were talking. So I was looking it up, and it mentions also why you eat kacha on Shabbos.
Yeah.
What the symbolism of eating from the feet. It says because of the pasuk in the Chumash, "Vayisa Yaakov raglav vayelach hatzov v'negedim," after the dream of the chalom, that's what it says. So the minhag was, that's how it, based on that pasuk, it started to eat pichah.
Yeah, I mean, but before that, chicken legs are very good here until they.
But it's the idea of eating feet, so you should.
Chicken legs. So pichah is an easy way. You know, it's how do you divide 7 apples to 13 kids?
She's getting,
you make applesauce and then you divide it.
Yeah, very good.
You make pacha, everyone can get a piece. You make a filter fish, everyone can get a piece of fish.
You don't get to eat it very long because it shortens your life. That's it.
What, pacha?
Yeah.
It's very good for gout.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah.
I try not
Mark,
to herring,
a lot.
Mark, this is for you. Mark Blatnick.
Run to the bed.
Yeah, this is for you. Almir Shanto, the Abarbanel, makes very astute point because this is the way the shot the idea is, even though you might think that still he's walking with the stick and then he has a relapse, so he never got over the sickness, whatever you did to him, you're still responsible because he's still walking with the stick. He can't walk under his own power. He needs a stick because he's still limping very badly. And even so, is when he called Hamaket, you have to pay Shevis, Rak Shimto, you have to pay the other things, the Shev Nezek Tsar, and all of that, but you're not hired for killing him. And he dies, he has a relapse and gets back to bed. The fact that he walked out, he's leaning on a cane heavily.
The girls are not chayiv. So house there with a big yard.
It's
so
you have to pay the
where do they live?
They were going to get married Hanukkah time. Says, well, how are you going to get married outside Hanukkah? It's too cold. So they said, okay, so let's do it after the Yom Toivim. Sometimes it can get cold also in the Yom Toivim right after you get a cold. So do it before Rosh Hashanah, and that was it. It was done in September, and that was that.
Okay, everybody, so let's begin. Let's learn now about, I want to review today, Spencer.